starts right now.
So beginning Saturday, the 23rd of September, in 10 days, we will close our emergency department at the Legacy Campus on East Street at 3 a.m. and open immediately our new emergency department here at Brent Lane and Interstate 110. So for EMS, that means they will now approach our campus from the interstate and from Brent Lane with the ambulance bay at the back of the building. And for those using private vehicle, you'll also access this new campus coming off of Brenton Lane to the emergency entrance. And there you will be greeted and triaged and cared for immediately.
This is the President of Baptist Healthcare, Mark Faulkner, talking yesterday during a tour that we did, a kind of a media tour with, you know, I guess they've been basically doing tours for everybody every hour on the hour, or so it seems, you know, lots of tours going on for Baptist, the brand new hospital on Brent Lane. And as Mark explained there, what's going to happen a week from Saturday is the one ER is going to close, the other ER is going to open, and then there's going to be a parade of ambulances, about 15 ambulances, according to Eric Gilmore, going back and forth throughout the day, transitioning all of the current patients from the what he calls the Legacy Campus on Moreno Street over to the new campus on Brent Lane. And, you know, they've already been doing things like cutting back on the number of inpatients. You know, they're not taking in a lot of new patients right now, trying to, or at least they will be close to. I don't know if they've actually done it yet, but I thought they said, we talked to him last week, Brett Aldridge said that they've already been doing it. So they're going to try to get the number of transitions as low as possible and then do it all in one day. And they've been training and doing all this stuff, but got a chance to see the hospital. Hadn't been in it since it was hard hat stuff. You know, like we had to wear a hard hat the last time around. And man, it is amazing. I mean, part of what's so neat about it, I mean, it's all the, you know, the most modern, designed by the nurses and the staff, you know, designed to be customer oriented and, you know, all that. But it feels like you're just going into a really big, really expensive, like nice hotel slash somebody's home. It's meant to feel like not a clinic. It's meant to feel like a relaxing, like a spa almost. I mean, it's not a spa, but it's like, you know, that kind of an atmosphere with more rooms, 61 rooms of the new facility for the ER, 43 rooms right now. And, you know, 240, I think it is, something like that, rooms in the overall facility. The whole fifth floor is all, you know, maternity, what they call mother-child. And it's just brilliant. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. It's an amazing thing. Even from what I had seen before, the transition from then until now is fantastic. And I know some people have kind of wondered, like, well, why didn't they just rebuild on the same location? Mark gave a pretty good history example of that.
In 2016, we did a master facility study of our main campus with the vision of renovating that current campus to meet the needs of modern healthcare. Not surprisingly, that study came back and said, no. It's hundreds of millions of dollars, and you're still left with the campus challenges, the bones of the building. It would not be wise. Okay. Well, plan B. How can we build a replacement hospital on that current campus? They did that study. They came back, and they said, not going to work. You're landlocked. You don't have the land to build a hospital replacement on that site. It's changing your tire as you drive down the road, which took us to plan C. We've got to move. And so we said, all right, this is a critical decision. We commissioned a study economically, and they said, go north, Nine Mile Road, Beulah area, that's where the growth is, that's where that's happening. You should consider that. And we said, that doesn't feel like us. We need to solve the challenge of becoming more accessible to the broader community and continuing to be successful to where we are today. And from that charge brought us to this property, 32 parcels, 57 acres, none of which was for sale when we started this journey. But that's how we arrived at this, location.
Yeah, it was an industrial park full of tenants and sort of halfway functional. It wasn't filled. It was, somewhat. And they had to figure out a way to acquire all of that. But I think it's interesting that the conversation that is being had over, whether Baptist is obligated to stay where they are, what's going to happen to healthcare for the people who live in that vicinity who have depended on it for so long. Well, to me, Baptist is charged with the job of being healthcare for the community, and the community has moved a lot, like he said, to the north. In fact, if they wanted to build a new hospital, north in Beulah would make sense, but that wasn't us. That wasn't the right location. I mean, Brenton, I-110 is a perfect location for a hospital just because it's the crossroads of everything. But yes, it's going to be a loss of easier access for people who live around the current campus. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I'm not convinced that it's Baptist's obligation to always continue to provide a service for the people in one area who have gotten accustomed to it when their real job is to overall provide service for the whole community in a place that makes the most sense. I know they care about that area. I know they've been serving that area for a long time, and people have gotten very accustomed to the fact that it's very close and very convenient for them, and it's a poor area. Okay, we all know that part of town. So people who, transportation challenge and all that kind of stuff. But is an entity obligated to continue to do a thing that doesn't maximize their mission because they have done it that way for a long time? Or are they obligated to maximize their mission, which might mean a loss of more convenience for a significant portion of the community that they had for so long been serving in that particular way? And I just don't think they have this obligation. In fact, I think you kind of say, well, I'm glad they provided it for so long. And does that make it harder for those people? Yeah, it does. But does it make it on balance better for so many other people and for the Baptist overall mission? And I say, yeah. And so I understand the concern people are raising, but it seems a little bit like, well, how dare you only serve us for the last 60 years? or 50, whatever it is. How dare you only do that and not continue to do the exact same thing that you've always done? And why not stay limited in your mission and try to make things work at a footprint that it's a weird kind of sour grapesy complaint, even though I understand. And nobody likes to lose it. This NIMBYism is like you don't want to get something put in your backyard that you don't want to be around. This is kind of the opposite of that. It's like, don't take it from my backyard. I've gotten really accustomed to this good thing. Dang it. Or you can say, it was nice while we had it. 518 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Now it's time for another tip from ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Do you know the impact video has in the minds of your future customer? In today's world, the average person consumes up to 6 hours of video a day. That is 25% of their time. If that large of a segment of their day is spent watching video, what's your company doing to create consumable content? Does your marketing and advertising strategy reflect appearing where they're watching this content? If it doesn't yet, it will soon. We are ADX Digital, and we help businesses leverage the power of video by putting brands just like yours in front of consumers using a wide variety of video marketing strategies, including social media mirroring, OTT, Amazon, video pre-roll, YouTube, Facebook and Instagram, and more. Ready to learn how we can do this for you? Email me today at connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com. That's connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com.
ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Did you know that feeling sluggish or weighed down could be signs that your digestive system isn't working at its best? But taking Metamucil every day can help. Metamucil supports your daily digestive health using a special plant-based fiber called psyllium. Psyllium works by forming a gel in your digestive system to trap and remove the waste that weighs you down. Metamucil's gelling action also helps to promote heart health and slows down sugar absorption to promote healthy blood sugar levels. Start feeling lighter and more energetic by taking Metamucil every day.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who pay attention to every little detail. The ones who fuss, tinker, and sweat the small stuff. Because you know the tiniest thing can make the biggest difference when it comes to keeping business moving. We get it. We're the same way. Offering access to product experts to help you quickly and easily find what you need. So whatever your industry, you know you're always getting professional-grade products. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie. On at 4 right after Guy Benson. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm afraid there is someone sitting next to you.
Oh, for God, Don. Who is it, Mr. Sinlinden?
Hello, baby!
You ever seen a spleen that large? No, not since breakfast. 522 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, for gosh, Don. Mr. Sinlinden. God, that's... See, you know, it's funny because I'm married to a woman who's 5 years younger than I am, Candy. And so, you know, Danny, obviously.
She's
and,
so great.
Yeah, she's the best.
Better than Andrew.
But, I don't think anybody argues with that. But she, you know, she grew up just a little bit behind me in the culture curve, right? And so, you know, she doesn't know new age music, and doesn't like it, which is painful. But she also, you know, a lot of the classic comedies like Fletch,
she's like Fletch and Stripes.
And she tries to tell me like, you think more people know that than actually know that. And I'm like, I know. And she's like, you think it's funnier than it is. I do not. It's funny.
It's that hilarious. Yeah, no, Darren's the same way. He hates Chevy Chase, which just kills all of my favorite movies.
Oh,
so,
man.
That's right. We got another TV problem.
He doesn't
solved.
Like Chevy Chase?
I don't get that's, why. That's a whole other thing to unpack. It's just stupid.
So you can't do Caddyshack?
I think he heard he was mean.
You can't do Fletch? You can't, I mean.
Right, although I've done them, so I can watch them again. I've got them in my other list. So.
523 here on News Radio 92.3.
Yeah,
I know what you meant.
All right. Sorry.
The odd phrase slips out.
Yeah.
You remember the teacher who led that, like, scolding of the black kids because they weren't performing well enough on the standardized tests, and if they don't score well on the tests, they're going to wind up as criminals? Remember the teacher who thought, let's motivate the students this way? Yeah, that teacher is no longer going to be working for the school district. This was in Flagler County. You had the 4th and 5th grade students getting all the African-American students together. And with slides that read in part, like as on the PowerPoint, AA, African-American, have underperformed, says it just like that, AA have underperformed on standard, like, you can't criticize.
So they're not even spelling it right?
She's not even, like, conjugating the verbs properly in the criticism slide. Okay.
That's lovely.
AA have underperformed on standardized assessment for the last 3 years. And then this is Cheryl Massaro as... she's the Flagler School Board Chair talking to CNN and email about this whole thing. And AA stood for African Americans. And, you know, it's one thing to talk to somebody individually, you know, right, or with the parents, and to say, you know, hey, look, this is a problem for your student. This is a problem for a lot of our students. Particularly, it's a problem for a lot of our black students. We need to work on this. But you don't get everybody together and have a rally for not being the dumb black students in the standard. No amount of good intention is going to justify that one. So the teacher who led the assembly is gone, or has resigned anyway. 525 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the FBI now looking into violent threats made against Fulton County, Georgia officials after the arrest of former President Trump. Investigators told a local news station there yesterday that apparently the sheriff, Pat Labatt, district attorney Fonnie Willis, Their families and others have all been the subject of threats since last month. Ukraine says they've seriously damaged two Russian Navy ships and port infrastructure in the Crimean city of Sevastopol. And that attack appears to be Ukraine's biggest assault on the Russian Navy so far.
Yeah, and since that one where they took out that destroyer, I forget what it was last year.
Yes.
Remember when they, then you know, that this is a huge, and especially at Sevastopol, is a huge port, you know, for the Russians in Crimea. In fact, that was part of the reason that they wanted the land bridge connecting, I think, if I remember correctly, if I remember my geography right, that, you know, Sevastopol is not, like, connected to Russia historically by land, so they wanted the land bridge with Crimea in order to be able to directly supply it. But, yeah, huge success for the Ukrainian military against them.
Absolutely. And well, I'm not sure who's going to be excited about this, but I know somebody will.
Do tell.
Boy band NSYNC is getting together to release a new song for the first time in over 20 years. I knew it. It's called Better Place. It's from the new Trolls movie that's coming out. So
of course it is.
Must have been recorded for that.
Wow.
But fans apparently had been suspicious when they saw all five members of the original band back together on Tuesday at the MTV
Awards. Yeah.
All right, so let me just give you my own personal level of knowledge check on this one. You ready?
Maybe.
NSYNC.
Yes.
98 Degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Timberlake.
Right. Yes.
Joey Fatone.
Whatever. Okay.
All of these things to me are in one giant folder of I don't know and I don't care.
Ignorance and apathy. I get
it. That's right.
That's how I feel about California. It's all Hollywood.
I can't tell you the difference. I can't tell you the songs. I might recognize some things, but all of the. I kind of like
Backstreet Boys.
Oh, that's exactly the point. I was trying to think of them. I know I'm missing one. And Backstreet Boys would exactly be. Right. They're all.
And they're back. All right.
It's all just one giant jumble of Axe body spray before we had Axe body spray.
Amen.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, David. I appreciate the update. I'm sure some people are very excited, and I'm glad for you.
We are.
527 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, a judge has now blocked the New Mexico governor's rule that you, for 30 days, because of a gun violence emergency, she put in this. Well, to say she put it in, I'd have to say more like she tried. She tried to put in a rule that people couldn't carry open or concealed in New Mexico, and now the judge has said, yeah, no, you don't have that authority. That's unconstitutional. And I apologize. When David first mentioned this story to me, I had not read anything about it, and I didn't know how to react to it based on what I had heard, and I thought, well, it's weird, but I want to know more. But yeah, the more you learn about it, it's like sheriffs aren't enforcing that. You know, they're saying we're not gonna. Really? You want us to arrest people for following the law with their guns? I don't think so. So, you know, now the question is going to be whether she gets impeached over this, whether she was doing it just to get notoriety, just to get noticed. Because her argument is, well, I couldn't very well do nothing, could I? You know, the funny thing about the Constitution is sometimes it tells you that all you can do is nothing. That's what it means to have rights. You know, I can't stand all these people shouting and yelling and being mean to each other. Funny thing about that First Amendment, though, is you don't have a lot of options for what you can do to make people be nice with their speech. 528 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Some construction and road updates. Jeff Bergosh did his coffee with the commissioner yesterday, and Chris Phillips, who is the kind of the roads guy for Escambia County. Pine Forest is coming, but slowly.
So that project has moved from the PD&E phase. There was a public information meeting, I believe, last December, and it has moved into the design phase. And with that, DOT is looking at right-of-way acquisition. I've spoken with some of their design professionals, again, you know, trying to help look for ways to lessen the blow with acquiring the right-of-way that is needed. Because on that project, right-of-way acquisition is, you know, getting really, really close to the amount needed to build the road itself. So that one is in design, and we expect that design to be completed by mid-2025. And it's important to keep in mind that that's a lot more than just adding a 12-foot lane on the east side. That includes some very complex intersection improvements to the Pine Forest 9-mile road intersection, as well as a diverging diamond intersection underneath the interstate.
So 2 years. 2 years from now, the widening of Pine Forest should be done from the interstate up to 9 Mile. And then you've got the Diverging Diamond Interchange and the roundabout supposed to be coming up 297A. We'll see if that all gets done, but 2 years.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Biden says House Republicans want to impeach him to shut down the government, saying at a Democratic Party fundraiser in Virginia, he's focused on the things the American people want him focused on. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
You can tell exactly what's happening at the White House. The Bidens have given the marching orders to the media. They know that they do not want to provide the information to the American people, and the American people deserve it. That is exactly why I did impeachment inquiry.
He was on Hannity on Fox. A program protecting young immigrants from deportation is again ruled illegal.
The federal judge agreed with Texas and eight other states that had argued the Obama administration didn't have the authority to create the program. The Biden administration revised DACA last year and made it subject to public comments as part of the rulemaking process, but that change wasn't enough.
Fox's Jill Nato in D.C. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531. News Radio 92.3 right now. Partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. A fraud investigation into possible misuse of funds now underway at Pine Forest High School. According to Channel 3, this involves the cheerleading staff after two staff members suddenly resigned recently. This parent says no explanation was ever given.
How am I supposed to know if you're not willing to tell me anything? To not give any follow-up whatsoever, I find strange.
The costs for cheerleaders are about $1,500 a year. That includes three uniforms. However, some parents say they never received some of those uniforms, were never given refunds. The staff members allegedly involved have not been identified. The state of Florida is becoming the first nation to recommend against getting the COVID-19 boosters for individuals under the age of 65.
Steering the state of Florida in a direction of truth and in a direction of data that benefits Floridians and humans rather than a focus on benefiting corporations or whoever the heck is benefiting from these terrible decisions that we're seeing come out of the CDC and the FDA.
And that is State Surgeon General Dr. Joe Latipo, who made that announcement, saying that the recommendation is based on the lack of human clinical trials and evidence of benefit for the newly approved booster shots. Well, keep your eyes on the sky if you're headed to the Navarre football game later on this week. The first special operations wing out of Hurlburt Field will be doing a flyover for the school's Military Appreciation Night football game. If you go, you could end up seeing MC-130J Commando, the AC-130J Ghost Rider. Air Force personnel are also going to be on hand during that game to chat with students and attendees. It's the first year Navarre has held a Military Appreciation Night football game. It is 5:33 here at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to have a beautiful start to the day with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible in the afternoon. Highs stay near 90 degrees overnight tonight, dropping into the low 70s. As you go into your Friday, we will have this pattern continue. Slightly cooler for highs with highs near average near 89 degrees, 50% chance of rain. Temperatures overnight Friday dropping back into the low 70s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 73 in Pensacola, 74 in Gulf Breeze, and 72 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Start your mornings with Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9. Followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel, or Pep Talk. Then, join the national news conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins at 11. Fox News' Guy Benson takes over at 2. And Joe and Gracie wrap up your workday from 4 till 7. And then, Dave Ramsey takes over.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Join Travis Thompson with Climatech of Professional Air, an American Standard heating and air conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area, on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join him today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I think this has been a long journey, and it's more than time now to get to work on something. We're 3 years after Sally. Understandably, we've waited on FEMA, and we've gone back and forth. We continue to have those conversations, but my confidence is waning in that being a solution anytime soon. And I just think the citizen deserves some improvement there. And
FEMA sometimes can be a little bit like that guy that you've been, you know, dating for like 6 years and won't propose. You know, he's like, well, let's just wait until we get into this situation. And it's a year later and he still won't propose. And well, we're just waiting on this. And then it's 8 years and he doesn't propose. And, you know, he ain't never going to propose. And so eventually you're like, I need to find me a man who will propose. And so you move on to take care of things. I think that's the analogy we're looking at here. The mayor saying that, look, you just can't keep waiting forever on FEMA because FEMA's ring shy, apparently. So they're just not going to pay for the repairs, and we need to figure out a way to take care of this stuff and stop worrying about it. Mr. Mayor, did I get that about right? Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, Mayor D.C. Reeves.
Thank you guys so much. Good morning.
So just tired of waiting, and you don't know what's going to happen eventually? That's where we're at?
Yeah, and again, we're talking 3 years this month since there's been damage to the seawall, to really the park as a whole. I mean, it really needed some great improvement. And it's time for us to start saying, hey, we can't just keep going back and say, hey, well, what about the hurricane? If FEMA's not cooperating to the level that we want, and they're talking about fractions of dollars of what we've requested, it's time to move forward. You know, it's time to figure out other revenue streams, and I feel like that's why I'm here, is to say, you know, then we'll shake the whatever tree we need to get this thing funded. And if we're not going to just sit back and hope that we're going to have a crazy about face with a federal organization that's taken 3 years to this point. So
yeah, it's frustrating they're not even holding out the carrot that when eventually comes, it'll be full payment.
Correct. Wow. We're talking about a fractional payment, and we're talking about a timeline of into the ether. You know, we have no idea, you know, when that would even be. And certainly if we were to contest anything and moving forward, that would be another 6 months or another year. And so you see, it's a never ending cycle that we'll just be sitting here 2 more years from now, wondering what FEMA is going to do or going to determine. So we'll continue to work with them. If there are dollars to be had, don't get me wrong, certainly we're going to go after those, but we cannot paralyze ourselves anymore. Wayside Park is in disrepair. You know, we have the improvements that we've already discussed, you know, the graffiti bridge chimes, the trestle walkthroughs. So all those things need to get moving. And, you know, I don't have enough patience to just, you know, sit around for another couple of years to get fractional dollars to find ourselves right back in the same position. It's just time to get going.
I'm just amazed that FEMA has promised full value replacement cost on the old bridge that's the fishing pier, and they're not biting on the seawall and the handrails that were wiped out by the barge. Like, I'm just, it's baffling to me. I guess one question I have is, I know your attitude on all of the things related to city facilities and infrastructure is, you know, always ask the hard questions in the beginning so you don't have to answer the hard questions later on. So here's, I don't know what you've considered here, but are you going to then look at maybe not fully restoring Wayside Park, but doing what needs to be done and then asking the question, if we're having to build this from scratch, as we are having to rebuild this from scratch on our dime, does it make sense to do it this way or does it make sense to do it some other way?
I would say on the north half, when you talk about the boat launch and the graffiti bridge, yes, we're going to redo the curb there so we can get the chimes underneath. Though there's, you will see some changes that will be different than what you see now on the north side. Now, what I would say normally is if we're going to go chase dollars for Wayside Park itself, or I'm talking about kind of south of the entrance, towards the bridge. If we were going to, normally, I would say, okay, well, if we got to go get the money to do this, let's look at opportunities to if there are needs for change there. But I would say, given the budget constraints, what you would likely see in a best case scenario for us is get the trestle done, get the chimes done, get that boat launch repaved the right way. It doesn't look very good. And then on Wayside Park, we would probably just return it to its form.
I was not clear. I'm sorry. Would you consider doing less? Does it justify even restoring it to its former glory is kind of what I was getting at.
Well, here's what I would say. Perhaps not, but I don't think that the great expense that we're going to be dealing with is going to be those picnic pavilions or the paving,
okay,
to be honest with you. And look, you know, the county, I've met with Wes, they're spending $20 million on a fishing bridge that would be back in, in service.
Right.
So there's not a whole lot of cost savings there, but the important point is we're going to go ahead and move with the changes that really aren't affected by the compromised seawall. But I think any improvements to the south end are going to be impacted, but potentially if we were to put them in place without the seawall.
Okay.
So it's kind of like those two are married together, the seawall and the rest of the park, where the north, things on the more northern side, we can probably start to make some improvements there without having to get that seawall funding. So so that's how we'll probably phase it, is just looking at the kind of the north side versus the south. But we want it to be one complete thought, and that's why we're moving ahead with these dollars. We've talked with FDOT. We talked with some other folks about some potential funding sources. That's just where we are. But actually, you kind of accidentally hit on it. I mean, our issue is FEMA's pointing at Skanska, Skanska's pointing at FEMA. It's a barge. Was it the hurricane? You know, and so we are just mired in a who's on first situation that could potentially take additional years of time.
Well, I can solve it for you. Who is on first and Skanska's to blame? We're talking to D.C. Reeves. He is the mayor of Pensacola. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Ha-ha, TV jokes. Were they movies? Who's on first?
Abbott Costello?
Yeah. Was that radio? Yeah, I guess it would have been. Sorry.
Anyway. Know your genre.
Oh, look at me.
It was TV. I looked it up.
Jerk. Seven.
D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. We have a kind of a big deal because it's the first competition in which American Magic is going to be flying the Pensacola sail as it competes on Friday, right?
Absolutely. And I said it's our home team.
Yeah.
With its first legitimate competition over in Barcelona. So I know there's a big watch party. We've shared at City Seville Quarter at 9 a.m. Bright and early for a sailing race on Friday. They actually had their first official practice on Thursday, but it's interesting. Of course, the America's Cup itself is next year, but it's interesting in that this is really the first time each nation or each team from seven different countries are all going against each other, the same captains, the same crew, and all of that. So this is a good little barometer. It'd be kind of like a preview for the Super Bowl. If they had to play an exhibition and practice, that's what this is. It doesn't really count for anything.
It's a seven-man scrimmage.
You don't want to finish last. Yeah.
It's a seven-man scrimmage for football. Yeah, no, but I mean, it's cool. And it's just neat to see the American Magic, you know, flying their sail and have our name on it. That's good. Hey, I did want to ask you, the Malcolm Young Gym, okay, I understood your explanation that it's going to be plus a million just to make it usable. That doesn't count making it actually worth using. And so you're going to demolish it, which of course is going to entail costs and, you know, the contamination kind of concerns. But your idea is then to find somebody to build affordable housing on the lot. Is that the idea? And I mean, is that kind of where you're going with this?
We're reviewing basically what can go there right now with our housing and our planning department. If a private owner came to us and said we wanted to build housing there, how many lots, how many buildings, et cetera. So we're doing that analysis now. But I'm really looking for a workforce option. I think with the Motor Lodge, we're looking at a 60% AMI kind of homeless transitional pilot program. Mm-hmm. This, in my mind, would be a good workforce housing program. I'm thinking police, fire, nurses, teachers, you know, those frontline worker type workforce housing. And we'll see what can go there. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'll be honest with you, a year of this job, one of the more deflating things is the condition of the things that we own. I mean,
I can believe
it. We talk about Bay Bluffs Park. That's another tough decision we've got coming, which is maybe a seven-figure fix just for the decking that goes down to on Bay Bluffs Park.
Really?
Right now. I mean, so that's and no one signs up to be mayor to shut things down, you know, or get rid of them. That's not what you want to do, but sometimes it's what you have to do. And so we continue to have things. And again, that's not any one mayor or one administration. I mean, these are things that have aged over time, but it's without having some care in place, some preventative maintenance in place that we certainly are going to be doing for whoever that is the mayor after me 20 years from now. I hope that they aren't in the same situation that I'm in.
Well, you know, when we celebrate the buildings and the ribbon cuttings and the exciting reward it is to spend money to create a new thing and don't honestly budget for the maintenance and repair over time, somebody's got to be the adult. Just, you know, that's sad but true, unfortunately.
Right.
Hey, somebody texted in just a quick question. Have either Senators Rubio or Rick Scott or Congressman Gates, have they been helpful at all in trying to get like the FEMA money for the Wayside Park? It's a good question. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, we haven't gone. What I'd say is everyone has been helpful when we've called upon them. Probably a lot of those conversations were before my administration. I think we've been kind of on this road of inactivity for quite a while now. This is new news in the last 30 days.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, it's not a large enough dollar figure bullet to use, so to speak. FEMA kind of is its own animal. That it's not as easy as it would sound for just someone to make a phone call and get that to change. So it's probably not worth the squeeze, so to speak. So it's not because they haven't been helpful. It's that where I'd rather them be helpful is on some of these alternative revenue streams. And I know that they would be, and certainly at the state level.
Okay.
That's what I'm really looking at.
I got you. Save your powder. Use it when it's appropriate. We always like to end with the lightning round. So the first one, I know this is a little hard one to come up on the spur of the moment, but I hope you can. What's the weirdest food combo that you love?
Oh, man, that is a hard one. What is yours?
I talked about putting cucumbers on a street taco. That surprised me a little bit. A lot of people are big on the pickle and peanut butter sandwiches.
I'm too. You know what? This is a non-answer, but I'm too picky of an eater to be adventurous enough to try something
new. So, all right, fair enough.
That's my way to shove that answer off.
I got you. Do you have a favorite fiction book? Maybe it's one from when you were younger. I know you're young, but when you were younger.
I used to read all the Goosebumps.
R.L. Stine, yeah. Way to go. Very cool.
Unless those are nonfiction, then I'd be very concerned.
They're fiction, but. And then the last one is, on the daily, do you make your bed, have to make your bed, or are you I don't care, doesn't matter?
I give forth good spirit and effort to do it every day, and that's what I would say.
I don't make my bed, but I feel guilty about it. Is that where you're at?
Yeah. Right. Like mentally, I have thought about it, and then I may or may not actually do it. But
I love it.
I'm inconsistent but willing.
That's a good life philosophy, though. DC Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola, as always, sir. Thanks for the time. We look forward to the city council meeting on Thursday and talking to you again next week, sir.
All right, y'all. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. 549 on News Radio 92.3. I don't do it, but I feel guilty about it. How's that for just, how many things in your life,
America's
right?
America's mayor.
That's exactly
I love DC Reeves. He's so wonderful.
He's great. Hey, if you are thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are fantastic. You know, 230 homes sold last year. And I know I say "and her team" every time, but I don't always emphasize her team. And that's one of the things that she had wanted me to do, because she wants you to know that there are a lot of really great people that she has working with her that she has kind of surrounded herself with that are just fantastic, the same as she is. Like for this one, Nicole writes a review at the Leavenworth Realty site about Caitlin. Says, the best experience buying my first home. I'd use Caitlin again any day and recommend her to everyone. I was hesitant about buying, but this was the most stress-free process. She helped work out all of the details. She knew I was set on a particular house and helped me go for it, checking in along the way to make sure that I was okay. The biggest thing for me was when my dad flew in from Texas, she helped him surprise me after not seeing him for almost 2 years. She treated us like friends and family, not like a client. And that's, you know, you can talk about numbers and benefits and knowledge and all of that, and that's all good. That's true, okay? But there's just something about the way Christina does things that makes you, this is going to be a weird way to, like, feel loved. You know, like, that's kind of, when I say, like, she surrounds herself with other people who are like-minded and like-hearted, that's the idea, that just have that attitude of do whatever can be done, help out, and, you know, kind of
go the extra mile.
Yeah,
for sure.
Make you feel special in every possible way. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College, on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Deep climbing.
Picked off! He brought it down with one hand!
Got it.
Goes down! Sack!
This is your home for FSU football.
Watch it deep downfield! Caught! Touchdown! FSU!
Rolling to his left, they're going to throw. End zone! Picked off!
Game over!
Catch live coverage of the Seminoles all season long, right here on your home for Florida State football.
Listen to FSU football on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware.
Pregnancy can be an exciting time, but for many moms, it can mean feeling anxious, depressed, confused, or overwhelmed. Either during pregnancy or after having your baby, you may not quite feel like yourself. If you're experiencing these feelings, you are not alone, and mental health issues can be treated. Talk with your OB or connect with a mental health provider in your area by visiting flbhimpact.org. This message is supported by the Health Resources and Services Administration, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
But the most important rule, the rule you can never forget, no matter how much he cries, no matter how much he begs, never, never feed him after midnight.
Good morning, 5:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, forecasters are predicting that Hurricane Lee is going to hit the New England coast by Friday. The National Hurricane Center says it'll likely be a large and dangerous cyclone when it does hit there. It should move over Maine and the Atlantic Canada then throughout the weekend. Ford CEO Jim Farley is batting back criticism by the head of the UAW union that Ford isn't taking bargaining seriously. Of course, this comes ahead of that strike deadline tomorrow, or I believe it's midnight tonight, actually. But UAW CEO Sean Fain said last week that Ford hasn't received a genuine counteroffer on that proposal. You know, yesterday we were following all that news on Danilo Cavalcante as he was arrested. We learned a lot more about that at a press conference just a couple hours after the news broke, Andrew, and I was watching that press conference, and you know, a lot of those press conferences, by the time you get to the end, you kind of start, you know, missing a few things,
sure,
right?
Sure, you're not as paying as much attention,
but
right?
Luckily on this one, I was still paying attention at the very end because I almost missed a very important question that was asked during the press conference.
Sir, was there any concern that he would team up with another small man to step inside of a trench coat, Little Rascal style?
No.
There you have it. There was never any concern that he would join up with another small man in a trench coat, Little Rascal style.
Now, I will say this. I feel a little bit like, who is leading this press conference? A sheriff, I assume? FBI?
Well, they had their police chief, the sheriff, the DEA. I mean, they had all sorts of people.
Okay.
I believe
now,
this
play
was
it again?
From the,
play it again?
This is from their local police department.
Sir, was there any concern that he would team up with another small man to step inside of a trench coat, Little Rascal style?
No.
I feel like that answer was a little bit too quick. I mean, I feel like they didn't, because they didn't think about that.
Right.
The fact that they didn't think about it, he's answering instead of saying, you know, probably we should have considered that, but we didn't. I mean, it's like he's almost trying to cover up
a little
for their
bit,
failure
yeah.
to consider.
A little bit, yeah. I hadn't really thought of that, but
was
that
this,
is true.
Was this the press conference? I saw a headline and did not read the story that a non-journalist snuck into a press conference. Was this that same thing? Was this that guy who asked that question?
Well, now, I didn't see that headline, but that would really answer some questions about this question. I was actually thinking when I first heard that, I was thinking they probably must not have vetted the reporters that were coming in very well. Probably some YouTuber or something trying to get a little bit of internet fame off.
Okay,
of it.
I'm looking it up right now, and I'm trying
to say it sounds like a Howard Stern thing.
okay, so no.
Have you ever cut one?
I'm looking. There's an article about this. I'm trying to see if I can the person. No, and. The reporter was eventually unmasked as Philadelphia-based comedian and podcaster Mike Rainey.
Aha!
Uh-huh. Who later quipped that they were very polite when asking him to leave.
I love it.
So, that's a good catch. Way to be diligent. Listen all the way through, man. I appreciate that. 557, Little Rascal style. 557. Okay, but now, Candy? What's a Little Rascals?
I mean, I'm too young. I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
But
obviously,
I think,
right?
But I mean, from, you know, the black and white TV show.
What's the age? What's the age at which people don't know that reference?
29?
40. I think
well,
over 40.
Well, it's not
40?
Like it was new when we were kids.
I know,
it was just on all
you,
the time.
I mean,
because that's what
you think if I go ask my kids at 19 and 17, they're going to know this? No chance.
Oh, no, they're going to make funny. Just like
chance.
Sarah will in about, what, 2 hours?
Exactly
yeah,
right.
Let's ask her about Little Rascals.
Oh, by the way, I love Sarah. She's the one who's helping kind of train.
She's awesome,
and
yeah.
Can I say this, though? My favorite thing I ever learned about Sarah is she immediately perked up yesterday when we were talking and when we started talking about the MTV Video Music Awards. Because she knew the Olivia Rodrigo set collapse
right,
thing.
Right, absolutely.
She knew that story.
Yeah, boy, she's fabulous,
I know,
she's man.
The best.
She's,
I love
it's
it.
Been so neat getting to know her.
Yeah, she's great.
For all of us.
558 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, I was talking about the Baptist Hospital. And, oh, by the way, there's a really long 45-minute video that I took yesterday of the tour. So you can experience the tour, too, the walking tour. And the it's just amazing stuff. But I've come up with an acronym. I was talking about how the people who live around the current campus, you know, the old NIMBY is like not in my backyard. Mm-hmm. Like, don't put this bad thing close to my house.
Right. And
these people
want to keep Baptist.
Right. These had the opposite of that. And my first pass at this was don't take it from my backyard, which is DeFimby. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, no, Kimby. Keep it in my backyard.
Kimby.
So NIMBYs are people who want to prevent the bad thing from coming. Kimbys are the people who want to prevent the good thing from going.
I love it.
So I've created an acronym.
Boy,
if you hear it anywhere else, you'll know it started
today.
Here. That along with our reference to the trench coat and the Little Rascals. We'll be back in just a minute.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
A Pensacola woman has been arrested on child neglect and abuse charges after her apartment was found in deplorable conditions. We'll have more on that story after 5.